Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
It was tough to take a nap during that show just now.
but you did.
I did it anyhow.
Now, we started off a wonderful show this morning with Lindsay Orsi in that Managing Kinship, which was in that. It sounds so terrible. From Managing Kinship and the program there for Nassau and Suffolk was wonderful. And we're going to continue on with Anne Fangman, who is she's the executive director of Sustainable Long Island. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
I said your name properly, right, Fangman?
You did, surprisingly.
Okay, I practiced that. I think the Sustainable Long Island mission is one of the most important missions that we as a nation face, not just as Long Island. The environment, the economic development, the social equity, everything. I mean, and this election is bringing that to the forefront. What happened in London, or actually in England, overnight, is bringing everything to the forefront. People want to be heard, but I hope they respect, you know, the sustainability that's required. I always start with this question. How did you get involved with Sustainable Long Island?
Okay. So I actually joined the organization February last year. I came in as director of programs, so directing all the work that we do with community revitalization and public outreach, public input, you know, environmental health, food access, brownfield redevelopment, doing all those projects. I'm an urban planner by trade.
Oh, okay.
And by education. So I came in to, you know, really bring my planning background to the table to help, you know, forward these projects on Long Island. And then with the exit of our former executive director, Amy Engel, in late last year, I was actually then brought into the position of executive director for the organization.
Okay.
And it's always an organization that, as a planner on Long Island for the last 10 years, has always had such a great reputation as far as providing a voice to historically needy communities. And it's an organization that I had worked with in the past as both a private sector and public sector planner, and was happy to then, you know, join the efforts of the organization.
Terrific. It's a broad... the areas you cover for Sustainable Long Island is very broad, and everyone is important in its own right. What I would like to do is let you tell us the top three in your mind that you're currently working on.
Okay, as far as projects and communities?
Right.
All right. One exciting grant program that we're actually involved with right now is a five-year grant. It's called Creating Healthy Schools and Communities. And we're actually working in five different communities across Long Island, being Roosevelt in Nassau County, and then in Suffolk County, Brentwood, Central Islip, Wyandanche, and the Shinnecock Nation. And we're actually partnered on this grant with Western Suffolk BOCES and Stony Brook Medicine. And Sustainable Long Island is leading the community role for the grant, which is all directed towards reducing chronic disease and obesity on Long Island and for at-risk populations. And we're working in some exciting areas, including complete streets. And if you don't know what complete streets are...
No, I was just going to ask you.
They're safe and accessible streets for all users. So the concept is promoting walkability in our downtowns and in our communities. And what are the infrastructure upgrades or the needs that you need to have there for youth to be able to safely walk, for seniors, for the disabled? So if you think about just walking around in one of our downtown areas or otherwise, you know, is there pedestrian signalization? Are there crosswalks? Are there even sidewalks there for people to walk down the street? So this is all tied to that decrease in chronic disease and obesity by promoting walkability and biking and people taking transit and then completing what we call the last mile or the last transfer. So if you were to take the train somewhere on Long Island, would you then be able to walk to your destination or bike to your destination?
That's amazing. And stuff like that is, you're telling the story or about the program, and it seems so simple and so basic, but it is so not taken care of on Long Island. And because of it, you really put the residents of Long Island at a tremendous disadvantage because they can't get around. And especially, you know, we're our focus is seniors. And actually, within the town of North Hempstead, I think it was about 2 years ago when the PSE&G was putting all those big poles in. And that was one thing that the supervisor at the time was fighting with them because they were encroaching upon the sidewalk so wheelchairs couldn't go down. And she said, you can't do this. How can you put in something that's actually people using the sidewalk? Simple, but you have to be on top of every piece of this.
And, you know, a big part of this is, you know, being a nonprofit with limited resources, we always have to take a look at the communities that we're working in. What would be the lowest cost but highest impact improvements? And something that we've been taking a look at is as simple as pedestrian wayfinding signage and how we could use low-cost signage in some of these areas, full knowing where to go and being able to access resources in the communities and pointing them in the direction of a nearby park that they may not have known that is there. And, you know, connecting that to things like, okay, that's only a 5 to 10 minute walk and you're burning this many calories. And just, you know, promoting that walkability in these communities.
You know, there's a lot of young people, my grandson is one of them, who lives in Brooklyn now because they can walk to places. So this, I think, just applies not just to seniors, but also to young people.
Absolutely. If we're going to, you know, both retain our young professional and our young population and bring professionals and talent to our communities instead of just losing them continuously to the brain drain, then we have to think smartly about all of these issues, including transit access, walkable downtown, safety, resources in our communities to really try to keep this population here and also attract young people from other areas, which I don't think we're doing a great job of right now. We could do a much better job of that here on Long Island.
You want to say something, Otto?
No.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I agree with that 100%. You mentioned Brooklyn. My daughter recently moved into Long Island City. And they're making it a community. And I was in there last weekend babysitting. I spent the weekend in there. And you could walk out the door, basically get everything. Everything is handicap accessible. It's safe once you cross the street. I mean, it really is tremendous. And here, you know, which is fine. Long Island years ago was the Levittown. And you had your private home. It was a whole different world. And what Sustainable Long Island is doing is trying to bring us into the century we live in today. We can't go back to 1950. We're in 2016. It's a different world.
Well, it's funny how it has turned around. I grew up in a place called Woodhaven in Queens. And we basically walked everywhere. There was nothing that we couldn't walk to. And then it turned around and people said, no, that's not what I want. I want a lawn and grass and all that good stuff. And I think now the reality of being able to walk to places is very strong. People do want to be able to get to wherever they want to go without having to get in a car all the time.
It's true.
So that's one of the areas, I guess, that's sustainable, as you pointed out. That's one of the main targets.
And,
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll just add that also as part of this Creating Healthy Schools and Communities program, it also forwards our food access work that we've been doing now for quite a number of years. And this is all focused around the fact that many of our communities here on Long Island don't have access to healthy produce and healthy options. And many of Sustainable Long Island's programming is focused around this issue, including our youth staff farmers markets, our Healthy Corner Stores program, and also our community gardens program. And I'll mention that we've been implementing these community gardens within communities and kind of from the ground up building stakeholders that will then maintain and help harvest the crops from these gardens for community members. And we actually expanded a garden that we implemented last year with the town of North Hempstead over at the Yes We Can Center in Newcastle. So this is another important program area and issue that we're very much involved with on Long Island.
And, okay, how does this start off? I mean, I know that you're involved with Port Washington and Newcastle, but my question is, in a neighborhood where you're not involved, in any aspect. Does Sustainable Long Island like reach out to a community leader, or does the community leader have to come to Sustainable Long Island and say, listen, could you come in and give us an overview, or could we have a meeting with you in reference to, you know, all these like downtown revitalization programs? Do you hear about them and try to get in the middle of it, or hope they come to you before they start spending money and do something wrong?
I think that it works both ways, and it always has.
Okay.
In the 18-plus years of Sustainable Long Island's history, we work across the region with leaders and residents of both Nassau and Suffolk counties. We work with community groups. We work with stakeholders. We work with elected officials. From the bottom up, Sustainable Long Island works with the people who live in our neighborhoods, and then from the top down, we work with public officials and other leaders to change policy and identify resources at the village, town, county, and state levels to achieve those solutions. We typically, though, do target our work in the most distressed communities, the ones that are left out in times of prosperity, and those that are hit the hardest in times of decline. And that's seen in some of our historic places that we've worked in, such as Wyandanch and Newcastle and Roosevelt and Central Islip. But definitely both identify projects and work with community partners to implement those projects. But we also have people come to us as well and say, you know what, we're trying to get something off the ground. Can you help us out? You know, what can you do for us? And this happens in all different levels and with all different types of stakeholders, from educational institutions and schools, to the municipal planning department and public works departments, to just community groups themselves and civic associations.
How, like, I live in New Hyde Park and I am a senior. You can't see me, but I am a senior. Long story short.
It just sounds like a stud.
Yeah, right. Long story short, there's a, in my opinion, and those of a lot of people I know, there is a major need in the Long Island area, particularly in Western Nassau, let's call it, for housing that would be affordable for seniors, for young people. And we end up having a development like the Ritz-Carlton, which I understand economics and politics, but they built a huge complex right off the LIE, and the affordable housing is $1 million to $4 million, basically. And I guess my question is there any vision as far as Sustainable Long Island goes in terms of trying to develop housing that would be more geared to seniors and younger people who maybe aren't making $500,000 a year?
Ant, I'm going to have to hold your answer to that. If you don't mind, we have to take a break. We're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP. We'll be right back.